Coming up, a bamboo touchpad, a Toshiba satellite, Razer Death, and Anki Drive.
All systems go, Michael.
It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Hey, welcome to Before You Buy, the TWiT product review show where we get the latest and greatest goods in-house and then let our good staff take a look at it and give you kind of what it's like to really use the stuff. Take a case in point, Mr. Greg Burnett. He's a really talented artist. In fact, really, he shouldn't be here at all. He should be drawing his little heart out. That's why we gave him, from Wacom, the bamboo touchpad. Let's see what Greg thinks.
I'm Greg Burnett with twit.tv, and Before You Buy, and I'm reviewing the Bamboo Pad Wireless. The Bamboo line was created by Wacom, which is a company that's known for creating high-end, very expensive drawing tablets. Bamboo series was intended to be the more affordable, rough-and-tumble sort of everyday man's drawing tablet. I think they did a great job of creating a high-quality product that was affordable in a small form factor. So, for my pros, it's wireless. I like that. So I can hook it up to my tablet, use it with Fresh Paint, OneNote, just about any app that you can imagine that you would use a stylus with. But it also has gesture control. So you can scroll, use it as a secondary touchpad if you really wanted to. Another pro would be that it's only $79, which is pretty darn cheap for a drawing tablet. And a third pro, at 150 grams, it is super light and incredibly mobile. You can take it with you anywhere, especially with that long battery life. And as for my cons, as with any tablet, there's a bit of a learning curve when using it. It doesn't have a screen on it, so be aware that if you're going to purchase this product, it's going to take a little while before you get used to actually using it. And finally, as for buy, try, or don't buy, I'm going to give the Bamboo Pad a buy. I think that it's cheap, it's light, and it works. And that's just about all I could ask for from a product like this. I'm Greg Burnett with twit.tv and Before You Buy, and I will see you next time.
Thank you, Greg Burnett. Brian Burnett's brother. It's not a coincidence. They're actually related. Brian's our technical director and also frequent reviewer on Before You Buy. Right now, Radford Castro, our director of engineering, is here. We like to give him laptops.
Yes.
Because you like the laptops.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Toshiba. Now, Toshiba's been around with laptops longer than almost anybody.
Yes.
Of late, I kind of feel like they're kind of low-end. This is clearly not a super expensive one.
No, it's an
AMD
processor. It's definitely,
processor.
Like you said, it's a low-end.
Yeah.
And this is going after the, I guess, not below mid-range. So you're looking at $529 to start for this type. This is the L55D.
$529. It looks pretty nice.
It looks pretty nice, but unfortunately, its beauty doesn't match its insides.
Oh.
So yeah, this is an AMD quad core. It uses its own AMD Radeon-like, I guess, GPU. I'm gonna go through the specs real quick. It's not HD. It's 1030. It's 1366 by 768.
Yeah, that's really often what happens with these low-priced computers.
Right.
You get a low res.
Low
screen.
Resolution, lesser RAM. The only thing
is
that
it touch?
No, it's not. That's another thing too. the only thing, big thing right now, is 750 gigabytes of hard drive space, but it's not SSD.
Right.
So, but it has a few things. It has VGA out, a couple of 3.0 USB ports, and all your good stuff like the camera.
This feels like computers of yesteryear.
Yes.
Like the Toshiba satellite you might have bought 4 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even the design itself, too, and the keyboard's kind of cheapy looking. You'll notice that the labeling feels like it's just a little overprocessed, cooked in.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too. The touchpad is not exactly that great. And
it's also off-center.
Yes.
Does that bother you or no?
No, not as much as when you're actually tapping on it. So you know how most touchpads you can actually touch everywhere? This one doesn't. So there's some parts of it that are empty.
You can't touch the whole thing.
Oh, so there's some parts you can and some parts you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just not, yeah. And right-clicking, I don't know if you noticed, but on this too, the touchpad, you have to really press down hard for the right-clicking and the start-clicking to work. And
these are things we see over and over again with inexpensive laptops. $529 doesn't seem that inexpensive. I mean, you should be able to get a maybe an okay laptop. Yeah. This is aimed at the mid-range laptop price point.
Yes, yes. So it's not, I mean, it's not, it's a 5-pound laptop that you're not going to expect too much from, right, except for your normal thing that you're going to do for, like, spreadsheets and browsing the web. You're not going to run games on it.
I'd love to see a higher res screen and a touch screen.
Yes.
On this. Yeah, admittedly, not the fastest. Do you notice the difference in the AMD versus the Intel processor?
Not that much, but then again, we're running at low resolution, so right, you're running at faster refresh rates.
Right.
But the thing that really makes it stick out, though, is just the fact that things are a little bit, like, little things that stick out are just not there. Obviously, things like sound, the speakers are kind of tinny.
It's fit and finish problems.
Yeah, fit and finish problems, you know, closing the laptop and things like that. Just feels a little bit, I mean, it closes cleanly, but, you know.
Well, how about for a student or somebody who is very price sensitive, this might not be a bad choice.
Yeah, it's not a bad choice, but, you know, there's a lot of other,
there's other
stuff that's out there in the same price range that are touch enabled, maybe less than hard drive space, but, you know, you have...
Who needs hard drive space anymore, right?
Right. And everything is mostly in the cloud. Like, I actually listed two of them, both from HP, that are in the 500 price range, that are 8 gigabytes, quad cores,
better
and
stuff.
Touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that kind of stuff you're looking for is not, I mean...
Pros and cons.
I'll go really quick into it. I was just going to show off the sound for a bit.
Well, you said it's tinny?
Yeah, it's tinny.
Okay.
So, but you're going to have to take my word for it.
I will.
So, I mean, the pros, that it's cheap. It's DTS sound and has decent battery life.
So if I hook this up to speakers, I'll get DTS sound. The quality will be better.
Yeah, if you have your headphones and you're hooking up to your amp,
okay,
you're going to get DTS.
All right.
The cons is that it's cheap.
Pro and con.
Yeah.
It's cheap, but it's cheap.
Yeah. I forgot to mention one other thing, too, that's really important. The fan is extremely loud. It's like a jet engine.
Oh, my goodness.
So even when you're running, when you're just browsing,
right,
it is extremely loud.
Okay.
So, it's something that you'll definitely notice even just turning on the laptop. The other thing, too, is that you got a cheap touchpad and keyboard. It's just weak performance per dollar,
right,
all around.
So it's not that these are sacrifices you have to make for this price. There are other computers that,
yes,
do it better.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really, this is too much of a sacrifice. So I would guess a don't buy?
Yes.
A don't buy. That's the Toshiba Satellite L55D. Radford Castro, our director of engineering, and his little doggy, Toto. No, that's actually my little doggy, Ozzy, sleeping.
Awesome.
By the side there.
Yeah.
We gave Robert Ballinger. Robert's actually down at CES, and he's going to come back, I'm sure, with a raft load, an arm load of goodies. I hope you've been enjoying his coverage on TNT and TN2 Tech News Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But he did, before he left, give us this review of something we've all been very interested in. Maybe you've seen the Ed Norton ads where the 24-hour battery life of the Droid Max. Let's see what Robert thinks. Robert?
The Droid Max 4G LTE is an Android smartphone made by Motorola for the Verizon LTE network. Built around KitKat Android 4.4 and sitting on top of 32 gigabytes of memory, the Max is powered by a Motorola X8 system on a chip that includes a 1.7 gigahertz dual-core application processor and a quad-core 400 megahertz GPU that drives a 5-inch 1280 by 720 Super AMOLED multi-touch screen protected by Gorilla Glass. With its slim bezel styling and matte finish DuPont Kevlar fiber unibody, the Max measures 5.41 inches by 2.8 inches by 0.34 inches and 5.86 ounces. Much of that weight comes from a 3,500 mAh non-replaceable battery, which can provide up to 48 hours of typical use and more than 3 weeks of standby. For you Qi junkies, the Max also supports wireless charging. The Max has the standard complement of 3 on-screen control buttons, plus beveled power and volume switches on the right side of the phone. In a neat design feature, the rocker switch can be removed to reveal a nano slim card slot for the unlocked phone. A 10-megapixel camera and LED light find their usual placement on the back, while a 2-megapixel camera can be found on the face. The Droid Max has all the cool kid wireless accoutrements, including Bluetooth 4.0, NFC, GPS, AGPS, GLONASS, and 802.11abgn, along with LTE, CDMA, EVDO, Edge, GSM, HSPA, HSDPA, and HSUPA across the 700, 800, 850, 900, 1800, 1900, and 2100 bands. Wow. Getting past the specs, the Motorola Droid Max is surprisingly satisfying to use. The slightly thicker and heavier dimensions of the phone combined with the Kevlar unibody make it comfortable to cradle and unlikely to slip out of your hands. At first, I was worried that 720p might be too low for a 5-inch screen, but the Max is beautiful, with saturated colors and sharp images, The fact that the processor doesn't need to push pixels for a 1080p screen probably accounts for the addictively smooth, no-lag UI. The camera is just above average, good enough for basic pictures and videos, but definitely not in iPhone 5 territory. The stereo speakers are fantastically powerful and possibly the best I've heard on a smartphone. Combined with a fairly decent call quality, the Max is no slouch in the audio department. However, the real talent of the Max is its battery. That 3500 mAh power pack truly makes the phone live up to its name. Ingress aficionados know how the game, which uses the screen, processor, GPU, GPS, Wi-Fi, and cell radios all at the same time, can drain even an all-day phone like the Galaxy Note 3 in 4 hours or less. With the Max, I ingressed for more than 12 hours with enough power to spare at the end of the day for some Netflix. The Motorola Joyd Max 4G LTE is available now. You can buy it for $150 with a 2-year contract or $450 month to month. Let's start with the cons. And for me, the biggest con has to be the pricing. I'm always looking at off-contract pricing, and $450 without a contract, even though it's unlocked, still seems to be a bit high. I'd like it to compete with something like the Nexus 5. I'd like them to be really aggressive with the pricing, maybe knock $50 off just to make people know that this is a value in all senses of the word. The other thing has to be the relative spec. Now, I know spec means very little in actual experience of the phone, but for us geeks out there, it's something to have to tell people, well, it's a 720p screen, and yeah, the processor's not as fast as on some other phones. There really is no excuse for that if you're going to be looking for that in a phone. The third thing has to be the camera. I'm really disappointed in the camera. It's not a bad camera, but it's not even as good as some of the cameras I have on my Samsung phones, and that's still a step below what you get on, say, your iPhone 5 or 5S. But on the pros side, I have to say number one is the battery. This is a killer, a stellar battery. I almost got 4 days of battery life off of one charge. And you got to remember, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm using it as a hotspot. I'm playing Ingress. 4 days off of a phone like this, which is still crazy capable, is, well, unheard of. The other pro is that it makes do with the specs that it has. Yes, the processor isn't as fast as some other processors on the market, but because it's not pushing as many pixels, it feels snappy. Also, I really like the styling. It actually fits well into my hand. It's not too big. It's not too small. It feels just right. Combined with the battery life, it gives me that phone that I feel is going to be a workhorse again and again and again. The last thing is, well, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I really like this Kevlar backing. It's so much better than those smudgy plastics. It feels strong. I've actually dropped it a couple of times, and it doesn't seem worse for the wear, and it just looks good. For a phone that looks good, that feels good, and has a crazy long battery life, the Motorola Joyd Max just might be the thing you need to buy. I'm Father Robert Ballester with Before You Buy, and this has been the Motorola Joyd Max.
Father Robert Ballester, our digital Jesuit, and his review of the Droid Max. Gotta love that battery life, despite the lack of great camera. Shannon Morse, also at CES, enjoying herself down there, left us with a review of the Samsung Ative. This is their Windows 8 tablet that includes a pen. Let's take a look.
Hello, my name is Shannon Morse. I'm the producer of Before You Buy. I'm reviewing the Samsung Ative Tab 3. It costs $729.99. It's a 10.1-inch tablet that runs full Windows 8. So, let's talk about the dimensions, shall we? This is a 10.1-inch tablet. It's also 6.5 inches, and it's very thin. It's less than an inch wide. Oh, it better be, given it's a tablet. And it's also less than 2 pounds. Super, super light. And a very competitive product, I must say. So this is a Samsung tablet, so it does include, where is it? This little doohickey right here called an S Pen. Very fun, very useful, and very nice. I like this thing. As far as battery goes, this will last a good 10 hours. So pretty long time, very decent on battery life, and it also comes with this nice little Bluetooth keyboard, which also lasts a very long time. However, it does not have a mouse pad, and I kept on trying to hit a mouse down here, like a little click pad. That doesn't happen so well. Yeah, doesn't work whenever you're playing with the tablet. Nope. So there's no touchpad, by the way. BT dubs. So, back to the tablet. Let's talk about the interior a little bit, shall we? You have 64 gigs of storage on this, as well as 2 gigs of RAM. So you have a little bit of memory, quite a lot of storage. 64 gigs, that's very good. There's integrated graphics and an Intel Atom CPU. Woohoo, Intel Atom. So it's not an i3 like some of its competitors, unfortunately. The speakers on this are pretty good for a tablet. There's dual speakers on both sides on this chrome finish exterior on the siding. The 2 speakers are, they can get very, very loud. However, they are somewhat tinny at those louder levels. There are also a front and a rear-facing camera. The front camera is 720p, and the rear-facing camera is 2 megapixels. So you're going to get pretty decent Skype calls, but other than that, please don't take this to a concert and take photos of the concert goers. Yeah, not very good picture quality. The display is 10.1 inches. It's a full touchscreen display, very, very responsive. It's LED HD, and it has great viewing angles for this kind of display. It also gets very bright. I personally enjoyed using this display. However, the resolution is only 1366 by 768. That's rather low for the 10-inch competitive market at this moment. The ports on this are pretty nice. You get pretty much everything you could want. There's micro HDMI, a micro USB. It also has micro SD card. And you get your headphone in jack / mic out, and your dual speakers, power, and volume. So everything you could ever want. It also has Bluetooth and wireless connectivity. So my pros and cons for this device. In the time that I enjoyed it, which I quite did, other than the fact that the pixel density is not that great, the pros. It's very competitively priced at $729.99 for a Windows 8 tablet. If you want to get the newest and the best Windows 8 device out there, probably the Surface Pro, that one runs around $900 on their website. So this is priced very well for that market. It also runs full Windows 8, and it can be upgraded to 8.1 if you want to. Now on the con side, it definitely has a lower resolution, unfortunately, than a lot of its competitors. If you look at the Nexus 10 and the iPad that is Retina, both of those have much better resolutions than this guy does. And it has an Intel Atom. You can find other Windows tablets on the market that have i3 processors. So I would say spend an extra $50 and get an i3 processor other than an Intel Atom for a full Windows 8 experience. So would I buy, try, or don't buy this item? It's very nice. It's very fun. It's very easy to use, especially if you just want to watch some Sailor Moon on YouTube. But otherwise, would I spend $750? Yeah, I'm going to say don't buy. It's too expensive for the market at this moment. However, I would like to see this device because it does have some very nice features to it at a cheaper price with better processing speed and a better resolution. I'm Shannon Morse, and this was the Samsung ATIV Tab 3.
That's Shannon Morse, the producer of Before You Buy. Thank you, Shannon, for that. Tony Wang, our editor-in-chief. We always give him the interesting cameras. This is a new one from Fujifilm, the X-M1, a very compact DSLR-style camera. Let's find out what Tony Wang thinks.
I'm Tony Wang for Twit, and Before You Buy, and today I'm reviewing the Fujifilm X-M1 rangefinder mirrorless camera. This is the third model from Fujifilm, following the footsteps of the X-Pro1 and also the X-E1. Now, this camera has the same CMOS sensor that's 16.3 megapixel, and it's APS-C size. You have a very large sensor in a very small body. And the ISO goes up to 25,600, and as I always say, don't ever shoot at that high ISO. That's just way too high. That's not the native ISO of the sensor. This sensor is actually the same sensor as the X-E1, and also they're very, very, very good point and shoot, which is not removable. The lens is not removable. The X100S, that camera is awesome. Why would anybody buy this? You would buy this if you're really going into digital photography, but you want something a little bit more than just the point and shoot. So these mirrorless rangefinder cameras are actually replacing sort of taking over the space of these entry-level DSLR, which they're very comparable in price. These two are both about $800 MSRP, and you can find them less. In street price is probably $700 or so. And they all come with a zoom lens as the kit lens. More about the XM1. You have no electronic viewfinder, but you do get a 3-inch tilt display on the back. And also, currently there's two lenses that was released with the XM1. You have the kit lens, which is actually a newer model of the previous kit lens. This is 16-50. And there's also a 27mm pancake that you could get, which is about the equivalent of a 50mm. And as I mentioned before, the sensor is carried over from the XE1, which is a really, really good APS-C sensor. I know it's only 16 megapixel, but the quality of the sensor really matters when it comes to image quality. And you can see the quality in even just large JPEG, if you're just shooting JPEG. So, I mean, I would definitely shoot RAW with this camera. There's a couple design issues, such as the lens release. I keep on hitting it with my hand because I'm used to holding my camera with just my right hand. The pop-up flash, even though it clears the lens, it does feel a little flimsy. Pros and cons with the XM1 Pro, the price range and the sensor quality. The sensor is amazing. And also just the overall layout of the camera, where all the controls are. They're all very logical, and there's no steep learning curve when you're trying to figure out where you change the settings. And the only con I can think of is the build quality, because it's much lower price point than the X-Pro1. You sort of don't get the greatest, like the battery door is a little loose at times. I get a little worried about that. Buy, try, or don't buy for the Fujifilm XM1. I'm going to give this camera a buy. If you're looking to get into digital photography seriously, or even just as a real hobby, it is really worth looking into all the mirrorless rangefinder digital cameras out there. I know everybody always talks about DSLR, but end of the day, now that we're on digital, there's really no need for a mirror, especially when the display technology is so good now, and you have tilting displays and high resolution displays, and even, you know, electronic viewfinders. There's no need for mirrors. I'm Tony for Twit and Before You Buy, and this is the Fujifilm XM1.
Thank you, Tony Wang, editor-in-chief of all of Twit. Now, I get a review, and I showed you my little Knight Rider here. Actually, this is a car from a system called Anki Drive. We saw this system at the Worldwide Developers Conference like more than a year ago from Apple. These are Bluetooth LE-enabled cars. They have a special track. They charge via USB. I'm all charged up with my car. By the way, this has a name. This is Kurai. Each of these has a name. Let's go show you a little bit of how the Anki Drive works. Now, awesome. One thing you should know, in order to use the Anki Drive, you have to have an iOS device, either an iPhone or an iPad, because you have to use the iPhone software. Who's going to race with me? Patrick? All right, who are you going to pick? You could pick any one of these three cars remaining. I've picked Kurai. We'll open them up. These are the little USB charging containers. They look like little portable razors. You want to pick the gray one, the blue one, the red one? You going to do it with me, Chad? All right, we're going to place our cars on the track. $199 for the starter kit, which is this track plus two cars. Okay, so who's going to host the game?
I will.
All right. So I'm going to play with friends. You can play solo. These cars have some artificial intelligence enabled, which means they can play against you. You can have three cars going against you if you have all of them. The starter kit is two cars. They're $70 for each additional car. We bought all of them. And I have decided that I am going to be who? Oh, my God. You guys have taken all my cars. Where's my car?
It's pretty awesome.
All right, you're seeing already one of the problems. I have to go plug this in again, I guess.
Don't.
One of the problems with this is, and I, you know, I gave this to my son for Christmas, and I thought it would be really fun because it's like a slot car set, and he wanted something like this, and for some reason, he didn't. He really. I get to keep it. He doesn't really want to take it back to college, and I think what we're seeing right now is one of the reasons. A lot of messing around with it. Maybe I should start over.
No.
Should I go to the garage?
No. Play with friends.
Play with friends. All right. Who will host this game? My friend will host this game. That's Chad. Go ahead, start the game. I don't know why I couldn't see Ro Karai. All right, I'm going to pick him. Now you guys can pick your cars.
Ha!
All right, I got my car. Let me get over here. You can watch Chad or you can watch me. Either way. It's very exciting audio. I'm going to turn up my audio, too.
Cool.
Now the cars are going. Now we have a couple of things we can do with these cars. We can affect the speed. You can slow it up or speed it, slow it down or speed it up. You can shoot with the, I have a pulse carbine. Each car has its own special features. And there's a tractor beam. I have a tractor beam in mine. I'm going to speed up. I'm yellow. And I'm going to get behind somebody and tractor beam him in. There we go. I'm tractor beaming him. And now I'm going to shoot him. I knocked him off the course. I love this game. All right. Sorry. Was that you, Patrick? Now somebody's going backwards. Stop that. Oh, we spin out.
Oh.
Now, place and push, it says. That means I have to get back on the track and push it. All right. Tractor beam. They just added a firmware update for these, and I guess we have new capabilities. That's one of the things that's cool about this is the car is really software AI. And so adding capabilities means not only adding weapons but adding intelligence to the car. And that happens automatically when you hook it up. All right. Tractor beam. All right. Go ahead. Go by me. Tractor beam him in. Shoot him. Shoot him. Boom, 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 boom. So, actually, I think this is kind of fun. I was a little disappointed that Henry didn't think so, especially since I spent $200 on the starter kit and $70 on each additional car. That's $340. I'm in on this thing. Do you think you guys, you think it's fun? Are you having a good time? I think once you get it set up, it's a lot more fun. The neat thing is this is completely flat vinyl mat. The cars stay in the mat automatically. And there is a whole audio soundtrack here. With a pulsing soundtrack. Oh, who's shooting at me? See, I don't have a shield on my car. Some cars have shields as defensive weapons. Some cars... I've been disabled by OMG Chad. Bastard. Speed up. All right. Slow down suddenly. Now tractor beam that guy in and shoot at him.
Whoa,
wait a minute. How'd you do that? Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. I disabled him. Now, you're getting points, so this is actually a race game, and we're going to go through a few minutes of this. I got one point. I got one lousy point. This doesn't seem fair. Tractor beam him in. Shoot him down. You know what? This is actually kind of fun. I've been disabled by Alex now. That's the other thing. You know exactly who did it. All right. Pulse carbine, you guys. What are the weapons you have, Chad? All right. So now the game has been paused because Alex left the game.
What? Connection lost the host.
Oh, well, Alex. So pros and cons. Of course, the pros are this actually is kind of a fun game. You've got a track you can roll up and put away anytime. It's very easy to do that. It's a really good example of Bluetooth LE. There's no pairing involved. You just plug the cars in, charge them up. You get about, they said, 15 minutes of driving time for just a few minutes of charge. They charge pretty quickly. Charges up via micro USB. It comes with, the charger comes with three charging ports. You can plug another one into the computer just using a standard USB cable, as I did. So that's kind of cool. Uses standards, which I love. The cars are very smart. A lot of artificial intelligence. There's a lot of gameplay capability because each car has its own offense and defense capabilities. So all in all, it's a great game. The cons, it's very expensive. $200 for the starter kit, as I mentioned. That puts it out of the reach of a lot of people, although probably less expensive than slot cars. We're actually having some fun doing this. And it's a little complicated to set up. I spent a lot of time setting it up. However, the wow factor is really high. My suggestion, I can't give it an outright buy. It's definitely worth a try. If you can get through the setup and configuration, you've got friends who have iOS devices, because it does require an iOS device, and who want to play along with you. Boy, I have to say, it's kind of fun for a cold winter's night. This is Anki Drive, AnkiDrive, at anki.com. You buy direct. Well, thank you, everybody. That was a lot of fun. Thank you, Radford Castro, Tony Wang, Shannon Morse, Father Robert Ballasier. Thank you to my co-drivers, OMG Chad, Patrick Delahanty, and Alex Gumbel, who gave up completely. He's just can't figure. It's iOS. It's just too complicated for you Windows Phone users. And we thank you for joining us. Remember, you gotta watch before you buy. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.